Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome to Course in Miracles. And
please take notes.
Please take notes because your life might depend on it. That's why everybody's here.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we're here for our life, for freedom. Okay, maybe it gets colder. We'll put on the Santa hat. Oh, I just got out of the hot shower. I didn't know what to do with my hair. Is this okay?
Yeah, it's good.
Your hair is fine.
Good thing it's not a windy day.
I know. You got to watch out for the wind, or if it, you know, mist and everything messes it up, curls come out. Yeah. Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Listen, this is a great way to end it. The year, and I'm going to talk to Ross to see if he's available to run next Thursday, but I won't be available, and so we'll see later if Ross or somebody else wants to run it. I'll hunt around. But tonight, let's just ask the question. Let's just open our minds and be available to some more metaphysical thinking that, like, only the Course in Miracles can do. And my question for you for the next couple of minutes is, what happened? Look, obviously there's something living, there's some kind of life, there's some kind of energy that ostensibly is innocent. It feels pain when others are hurt. It feels pain when it's hurt. It feels pain when it hurts others. There's some kind of this life energy. There's some kind of beauty that seems to keep eking out amid the ugliness on the planet. You know, like this crazy phenomenon that was Machu Picchu was built, this most beautiful place. Wow, everything is a great view. And then lost, and it's such a fun story, even though there's all sorts of unfairness and government and death, as well as some great jobs for generations of people, all right here. If you take the plus and the minuses all together, even the minuses, when looked correctly, are beautiful. Same in your life. Even the hard moments you've had in your life, if we look at them from the Holy Spirit, from the bigger picture, they're beautiful. Even the tragedies, I hate to say it, even the tragedies, in the right perspective, they're beautiful too. But you know, there seems to be kind of a gravity for, let's call it negative. Let's call it loss. Let's call it even respect for death, just a blind respect for death as an end of something valuable. Seems to be a law here. And then you are right in the middle of it with your body. And anybody check how many more heartbeats do you have? Anybody count? You know, it's 32,000 plus or minus days your whole life. 1.5 billion heartbeats, roughly, and that's it for the mammal. And then you average, that's all, then you don't beat anymore. It seems to be loss is real here, see? And it kind of punctuates your whole life so that you have to protect yourself, and you have to feel sad for things that can't protect themselves. This world, the world, the world. What happened? Where's the love? Where's the infinite love? Look, if God is so powerful and love is so powerful, and I know you know that's true, right? You know that's true. But if it's, why isn't everything just absolutely glorious and joyful every moment of your life? I don't want you to answer that. You know the answer enough already. My question for you is to go back, taking your Holy Spirit with you, go back and ask the very simple question, what happened? Give yourself a little gift to see. I know the answer would be different next week, and I know it would be different last week if I asked you, but tonight, ask yourself, just, I'm only going to have a couple of minutes, quiet. But I want you to ask yourself, see what comes up. This is a message from you to you, for where you are. Obviously, there's a light in you, brought you to this meeting. Obviously, you think you can be in contact with this light because you're at this meeting. So let's follow that light and ask a little question. Don't expect an answer. Just try to be honest enough to ask the question, saying, I do not know. Don't look for an answer. I'm not going to ask you. Nobody's going to have to report on this. I just want you to open your mind to hear what's in this paragraph we're about to read. The Course is going to tell us what happened. But I want you to be in a place where you're asking, hey, what did happen after all? Okay? All right. Bell doesn't work on Zoom, so I shall be the bell. Bing!
What's the question?
Oh, yep, question.
What happened?
What happened?
Oh, yeah. Forget the meditation, just answer. What do you think I came for, Alan Smith? God.
What happened?
What, you want me to answer it, Andrew?
What happened?
What happened? Okay, I'm going to say, what happened? Let's meditate.
What happened?
I just want you to compare where, compared to the love and the light there you know is. Exists.
There it is. Where were you?
Where were you when I wandered off the trail? How did it happen? What the hell happened? And I want you to just open your mind to that. Don't worry. We'll have all sorts of great ways to look at it with Jesus guiding in a minute. But for now, just see if that question is in you. Okay, I'm going to quiet everybody down now. Just see if that question is in you. It's okay to ask, you know, what happened. That's how the beginner's mind is. I want you to go to beginner's mind, like a little child who only knows that it doesn't know. Bing. 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 Welcome back, everybody. Beginners, open-minded children. Children of God. All right. There's a bunch of opportunities to have Jesus walk us through many levels of answers to this simple question, what happened? How, if there's love and if God is all powerful, could I ever be even seeking for power or God or freedom? How could I ever feel like a victim? How could I even be sad? If the power of love and the power of spirit is so powerful, and if it's in my own mind, as the Course says, it is. Isn't this a fair question? You know, the Holy Spirit is a part of your mind, still connected to the truth, and you have full access to it.
It's not a fair question.
Tell me why.
You've loaded it. If God is all powerful, if the Holy Spirit is this. If I'm, you're making things that are absolutes into maybe they are, maybe they're not. Good luck with that. Okay? God is all loving. God is all powerful. You are a child of God. You absolutely have the ability to create in the same vein in which your Creator created you.
Beautiful.
So by loading all those things with if, that's loading the question in a way that makes it unfair for the person to try to answer. Ken Wapnick used to say it like this. It's like, what were you feeling when you killed your wife that day?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's the supposition? You killed your wife.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't kill my wife. Okay. So
good.
It's the same thing.
Does everybody, that's great. Thank you, Tim. That's really good. You're right. Everybody agree that whatever God is, it's all powerful. And does everybody agree that whatever God is, it's omnipresent? Does everybody agree that whatever God is, still is right now, 100% where you are? You should absolutely. You're doing A Course in Miracles. If you didn't think any of those were true, you must be fighting with the book a lot. Very good. Very good comment, Tim. Thank you. And yet you don't behave that way. And somehow you don't let the power through, right? Somehow you're not 100% happy, 100%. No remainder. Happy, joyous, and extending love. And looking for new ways to extend love. What happened? So there's many levels to look at this, many ways to look at this. And I hope that in you is this light that says, well, something appears to have happened. The truth is untouched by anything I might have thought, and I would just as soon give up any blocks to the awareness of love's presence. I hope that guides you all the time. Go ahead, Tim.
If I can just extend it slightly more, because of who you are, because of your Creator, I imagine that I am allowed to perform this thought experiment. What would it be like to exist without awareness of my Creator? What would that experience be like? Do I have the power to create that experience, even if it's completely illusory and temporary and, in fact, horrible and the world turned upside down and the universe turned upside down? Because of who I am, I get to choose to perform that experiment if I wish. And I can even pretend that it's real and pretend to throw away the key someplace where I can't find it again without help.
Very good. Here we are.
All part of my thought experiment. I'm allowed to perform it.
That's it.
And here we are.
Here we are. If you're like me, you hunger for going back to a higher level of understanding. The reason why I study Course in Miracles is in my thought experiment for individualization. I totally agree with you, Tim. I got into a corner that I made. And it began to feel like it really wasn't anybody else. It was really me. And then I found Course in Miracles says, guess what? It's you. Tell me more. I've been studying ever since. Sundari.
Well, I went to a very unphilosophical little girl modality with that. And it was like somewhere in creation, something told me I was bad. And so if I make punishment for myself, then that'll eventually somehow get to a point where I've proven I'm good enough and have gone through enough punishment so that I no longer have to feel bad. And then there's another version of it, which is, I've done something bad, so I better separate. I better step back, cringe into myself and wait to have somebody tell me that I can join again, that I'm welcome. Wait to hear for the welcome invitation. Not realizing that at any moment I can bless myself back into creation and welcome myself into joining and loving and not fearing the bad that I decided to take on and believe about myself.
Beautiful. Yeah, you lost a nice circle that you just painted there, Sundari, and very honest, true for all of us. If you weren't able to say that somehow I'm outside of God's graces, at least a little, you weren't successful getting away from God, as Tim was describing. You weren't successful. If you don't even a little somewhere or a lot, if you did it a lot, you were probably more successful at this game, at this experiment that Tim was describing, to go into separation. What we're doing with the spiritual journey is going away from all this separation back to union and unity and discovering the power there, that it is available. But it sure helps to know what your fixation was. Thank you, Sundari. Thank you, Tim. You see, you recognize you're not a victim, but you also recognize you're experiencing separation. If you're not a victim experiencing separation, you chose separation. You're not a victim. You've been working on this separation thing. Luann.
What I got to by the time I finished with thinking, asking the Holy Spirit to help me find it, what I got to is something about what, like Tim was saying, only in the form of why did I choose this? And that was where I ended. Why did I choose to believe this was the kind of life I had to live?
Yeah. Good. It's a very fair inquiry, and it can lead you right to the truth. You see, because in her quest of why did I choose is also the answer. I choose. I chose. Why have I chosen? And if you follow that pursuit, you'll say, wait a minute. If the question was honest, right? There's no answer to a statement that is not an honest question. So why did I choose? The key here is in the choose, that you have the power to choose. And then you can derive, you'll see that where we find ourselves now is not denied by A Course in Miracles, the separation. And it will walk us out, walk us back up, really. It calls it a stairway that we have wandered down. It's not the why that holds the answer. It's the how that holds the answer. Mark my words, if you come up with a why, you're going to stay. until you're good and finished. If you look at the how, then it will start, the mystery will dissolve, the dream dissolves if you look at the how. Jacqueline.
Well, when I started looking similar to what others are expressing, and I can still right now relate to everything everyone's saying, and yet I started down and very almost right away, Holy Spirit just said to me so tenderly and with so much love, nothing happened. And it just was so beautiful. I just want to rest there. And yet all everybody's saying, I can also relate to, if that makes any sense.
Tell me more, or maybe I didn't give you enough time in the short little 5 minutes. And you can just say pass, or I'll answer for you if you want. But how is it that nothing happened? It's true. You know, it's true. The book says it's true. It's true.
Well, I know, and that's the thing is, the book says it, so we could say, well, that, but I had the experience. It was just so loving and so tender.
Beautiful.
That's all I can say. And I just feel like I'm resting in that. And that's kind of the foundation for all the other journey I'm doing with A Course in Miracles. I don't know.
Good, good. The truth has shown itself, and it is a journey beyond words to touch the truth. It's also called a holy instant. Jacqueline, that is a holy instant. You can trust it because you know how it feels. And it checks all the boxes. So no need to have any more words beyond it. No need. It is really wonderful to be able to even think the concept without a fight that nothing happened. The Course explains that this whole reality that you're fixated on is in the terms of like a dream. A dream where nothing happens. Yes, there were characters. Yes, there's memories. Yes, you can tell the story if you remember the next day of what appeared to happen. But in the final analysis, of course, and in the first analysis, nothing actually happened in the dream. Ross.
So what I've come up with is it's all ideas in my mind. There's, 10 ideas up on the screen, including the idea of Ross, the idea of God, the idea of the world, the idea of a universe. All I did was put up imaginary partitions in my mind between all the characters, all the aspects of the universe. They're still just ideas in my mind. I just put partitions in my mind to separate them. So the only thing going on is those partitions. That's the only reason anything seems separate. And it explains so much. Like something interesting that came to me that I just shared with a couple of people who are non-course people. I said, okay, we all agree that awareness leaves the body when it dies. You can kick it. It doesn't move. You know, it doesn't see. It doesn't think. When does it go in? When does awareness go in if you're so convinced that you're a body? Is it a sperm and an egg and there's two awarenesses and they get together? Or is it jump in into the embryo? And, you know, they just look at me like, oh, well, of course, no one can answer that. And I'm like, well, I can. The awareness was never in the body. There are no bodies. That's why it seems to hop in and hop out. It never was there in the first place.
Yeah.
It's all just ideas in the mind, and we've just created imaginary partitions. All you need to do is take down those partitions, and then you see everything as one. So that's kind of how my words and brain function to make sense of all this.
You're reading the right book, Ross. Beautiful.
Good to say, it works for me.
Good, good. Okay, let's look at a few things in A Course in Miracles. Turn to page 459 in the text, chapter 21. There's a really good section coming up here. Yeah, we'll get to it January probably. Look at page 459, and let's look at paragraph 4. And Russ, I got your mute. Would you hit us with paragraph 4 on page 459 in the text?
Madness is an attack on reason that drives it out of mind and takes its place. Reason does not attack, but takes the place of madness quietly, replacing madness if it be the choice of the insane to listen to it. But the insane know not their will, for they believe they see the body, and let their madness tell them it is real. Reason would be incapable of this. And if you would defend the body against your reason, you will not understand the body or yourself.
Beautiful. Thank you, Ross. Wow, this is really Course in Miracles 101, describing this. The title is called Reason versus Madness. Reason being your right thinking, your Holy Spirit. Madness being this addiction to separation that you've already come so accustomed to. It's a habit. Course is saying, stop that. Relax on the madness. Let's look at the reason for it together with our hearts and minds. And then start to live that way. Start to live your life that way, where you look for not differences, but what things have in common. You will see holy relationships form all around you, and Christ's vision soon to follow. But let's talk about this, what happened first. Let's look at the classic quote on what happened, page 586, paragraph, bottom of the page. 586, paragraph 6. We could read 6. We could start with 5. We should do 5 and 6. And so, Don, are you there? I got your mute. Would you read for us on page 586, paragraph 5?
Yes. How willing are you to escape effects of all the dreams the world has ever had? Is it your wish to let no dream appear to be the cause of what it is you do? Then let us merely look upon the dream's beginning, for the part you see is but the second part, whose cause lies in the first. No one asleep and dreaming in the world remembers his attack upon himself. No one believes there really was a time when he knew nothing of a body and could never have conceived this world as real. He would have seen at once that these ideas are one illusion, too ridiculous for anything but to be laughed away. How serious they now appear to be, and no one can remember when they would have met with laughter and with disbelief. We can remember this if we but look directly at their cause, and we will see the grounds for laughter, not a cause for fear.
That is so beautiful. To have your teacher tell you in no uncertain terms that you could be laughing. Jesus has written this for you, saying, you know, you could be laughing if you had the right perspective. Luann, would you please read that same paragraph? And you might have to speak. I got your mute. Your mute's already off. So you speak up a little bit. Your microphone's a bit quiet. And read us the same paragraph so Don can really hear it.
How do we get my microphone to be louder?
Work on that after the meeting. It sounds okay right now.
How willing are you to escape effects of all the dreams the world has ever had? Is it your wish to let no dream appear to be the cause of what it is you do? Then let us merely look upon the dream's beginning, for the part you see is but the second part, whose cause lies in the first. No one asleep and dreaming in the world remembers his attack upon himself. No one believes these really, well, there really was a time he knew nothing of the body and could never have conceived this world as real. He would have seen at once that these ideas are one illusion, too ridiculous for anything to be laughed away. How serious they now appear to be. And no one can remember when they would have met with laughter and with disbelief. We can remember this if we but look directly at the cause, and we will see the grounds for laughter, not a cause for fear.
Giving you permission now to hold in your mind this happy feeling that Jacqueline had, which was, wow, nothing actually happened? And I could be laughing at how sucked into this tail chasing I've been doing. You could be laughing. Just for kicks, Tim, I got your mute. Would you, on the same page, would you run up to paragraph 3 and read us the whole paragraph.
The body's serial adventures.
Serial adventures. That's your life.
From the time of birth to dying are the theme of every dream the world has ever had. The, quote, hero, unquote, of this dream will never change, nor will its purpose. Though the dream itself takes many forms and seems to show a great variety of places and events where it finds its, quote, hero, unquote, finds itself. The dream has but one purpose, taught in many ways. This single lesson does it try to teach again, and still again, and yet once more, that it is cause and not effect. And you are its effect and cannot be its cause.
Exact opposite of the truth, the dream
teaches. The world turned upside down.
Turned upside down. There it is, black and white. You need to seek no further. If you want to answer, if you want to know what happened, or at least what's happening, we'll see more about what seems to have happened. What's happening? There's what's happening. There's your answer. There's your answer in black and white in several paragraphs. And you know, I have 30 other places that says something similar. Now, let's look at some more juice. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 6?
Let us return the dream he gave away unto the dreamer, who perceives the dream as separate from himself and unto him, and to eternity, where all is one. There crept a tiny, mad idea at which the Son of God remembered not to laugh. In his forgetting did the thought become a serious idea and possible of both accomplishment and real effects. Together we can laugh them both away and understand that time cannot intrude upon eternity. It is a joke to think that time can come to circumvent eternity, which means there is no time.
Beautiful. Thank you. Again, clearly stated for you, what thoughts could you use in your next meditation that might help heal your addiction to being apart from all that is, to being stuck in time, to being struggling in any way, to actually heading for a death where you lose something valuable? What words could you possibly use to guide your next meditation to help bring light to that dark story? And here they are. Here they are. You have permission to simply look at the author of this, from wherever the hell this book came from, right? Where the heck? Look at this thing. The author, the intelligence behind this book, however you want to put that, says, boy, if you could see it like I do, you'd be laughing with me. I'm not going to laugh out loud. Don't want to insult you because I know you're really deep in this. But the fact is, from where I'm sitting, you're chasing your tail. You're not going to catch it. See, when you move, your tail follows you. That's why you can't catch it. See? Luann.
I just had a funny thought. Most people want to leave a legacy. I've been thinking, what are my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren going to get from my having been alive? And it made me laugh to think, you know, there really isn't anything that they're going to get from having been alive that they need to have.
Yeah. 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 You know, in an absolute nature, there's nothing you can give them because they are not there to receive it. You give it to you to give it to them. Course of Miracles will teach you, if you really want to give something to what appears to be your grandchildren, you wouldn't hand it over to them inside the dream where it has no possible ability to connect in truth, but to give it to yourself fully. And you're not alone in the effects of your thoughts.
I think that's what drove me to wanting to be in this class.
Good. Good. Much better to approach this through the truth versus trying to make the illusion better. Good, 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 good. Okay. Oh, Sundari, what do you got?
Well, I just kind of love what Luann just said. Because I've been thinking about that a lot now, having this little teeny tiny wee grandchild of 8 weeks. And every moment I'm alone with her, you know, like I feel that urge, like what is it I'm supposed to communicate? And so I made this song up, and I know my daughter and her partner would think I'm crazy, but each time I go, remember the light, remember the love, remember that you have come from God above. Remember the light, remember the love. Remember that you have come from God above. And it
I love it.
Like, the most important thing I could tell her. And, you know, then I go on, remember you're true. Remember you're shining. Remember you're good. Remember you're great. You know, it's, and there's this beautiful book I read, that really impacted me, which is the Christ story, but with tweaks in it, and a lot of the innocence of Judas and Mary Magdalene. And there's a point that Mary Magdalene's role becomes going into a household or many households for babies 0 to 6 months old, to remind them of their light. She sings to them and reminding them of who they really are, mm-hmm. Seeding that. And like, even though she doesn't know words, just, I don't know. That's.
Well, remember when Jacqueline had a feeling and there weren't really words to put around the feeling. You could try. And actually with us, we can do better than the average crowd. Because we all study A Course in Miracles, and it has allowed us to have a common vocabulary and a sense, a common guide even. So, but yeah, you know, as I've said many times, well, I'll say it again. Before Course in Miracles, your feelings are very troublesome and they're educated by the ego and they'll get you in trouble. They will lie to you. Your feelings will lie to you. There will be anger. There will be attack. There will be jealousy. There will be feeling small. Your feelings will lie to you before your spiritual awakening. But then you start doing A Course in Miracles, and somehow, some way along the way, light begins to enter into your thinking. Reason comes in and pushes aside madness. And that's what happens with miracles every time. And as that progresses, now the light has entered and you have feelings. You still have feelings. But now you have feelings that come from a different source. They're not coming from the ego, which is a degradation or a separation, has a separation goal. But now your feelings come from a wholeness or an inclusion goal. So when Jacqueline has that feeling that is up and light and inclusive, and that nothing actually happened because light is still light, spirit is spirit, love is. All one has a wonderful, wonderful resonance. Not in words, you know. It's good enough in words too, I agree. And maybe Sundari could sing a song that it does point very, very beautiful feelings. But man, when you come centered in a holy instant and you touch oneness, you touch the absolute nature, like I think Jacqueline was pointing at, nothing harmful actually happened. Nothing happened at all. There's such a, it's a wonderful meditation. Yeah. Now your feelings are informed by the Holy Spirit. Your feelings are informed. They informed. Your feelings are a reaction to light instead of dark. And so you can trust your feelings now as a guide once you've started to have awakenings. Everybody here has had awakenings. You can't be reading this book unless you've had a spiritual awakening. Maybe not the awakening, you know, out of the woods because you keep looking back to the forest for mud and stuff and places to hide. Sure, I get it. But everybody here has had a spiritual awakening. You couldn't read this book if you didn't. Now it's to follow that feeling that comes with the holy instances. And Jacqueline owns it. And Tim owns the holy instant as he described to you the obviousness of what's going on for him and for all of us. And each of you have these stories. I could pull it out of everybody. Your holy instant that you own. It's different levels, the whole group. But you own your holy instant, your movement from darkness to light, where the light is more real than the dark. Okay, let's look at some more of these fun things. Turn to page 222. Triple two. It's really good to be reminded. I mean, you don't solve problems without looking at what exactly is the problem. You see, as it tells us in chapter 14, we won't go there tonight, but I'll remind you. We were there recently. The book says, you, this is a quote, you who are steadfastly devoted to misery must first know that you're miserable, comma, and not happy.
Yeah.
That's a quote out of your book. See, because you really think that this is the best you can do is get healthier, wealthier, wiser, better friends, some more luck, and then win the lottery too, and then you'll just be as happy as can be. Says the world. He says, no, you're miserable. If all that happened in the best way you can imagine, you'd still be miserable. Don't you get it? Says Jesus. Says the part of your mind that wrote this book. Don't you get it? The happiest you can imagine is misery. So we have to really become aware of what the beep is going on. Let's look right here on this page, 222, and see more of what the beep is going on. Albert, I got your mute. Would you read for us? Let's go for Yeah, paragraph 9. How much time we have? Yeah, let's just go to paragraph 9. We have so many of these to read.
The world you perceive is a world of separation. Perhaps you are willing to accept even death to deny your father. Yet he would not have it so, and so it is not so. You still cannot will against him, and that is why you have no control over the world you made. It is not a world of will, because it is governed by the desire to be unlike God. And this desire is not will.
Oh, beautiful. Albert, I just loved how you read that. Please read it again just for emphasis.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, reread that sentence. It is not a world of will.
It is not a world of will, because it is governed by a desire, by the desire to be unlike God. And this desire is not will. The world you made is therefore totally chaotic, governed by arbitrary and senseless laws, in quotes, and without meaning of any kind. For it is made of what you do not want, projected from your mind, because you are afraid of it. Yet this world is only in the mind of the maker, of its maker, along with his real salvation. Do not believe it is outside of yourself, for only by recognizing where it is will you gain control over it.
I'm going to have you reread that sentence again, Albert, as well, because here is a directive. Here is a command. Here is a huge clue that Jesus is saying, here's what you do in order to have control over your parent existence, to have control over your drug, to have control over your dream, for which you find yourself so often a victim. Okay, Albert, hit us with the key to our salvation. Starts with sentence 9, do not believe.
Do not believe it is outside of yourself, for only by recognizing where it is will you gain control over it. For you do have control over your mind, since the mind is the mechanism of decision.
Thank you. It is said right there in that paragraph, seek no further than your own mind. You don't need any other study. You don't need any other truth. That's enough. If you would wholly and completely give up the idea of being a victim, and say, okay, I don't know exactly when I did this or exactly how, but I know that I accept for a moment that I did. Take that moment and go into it and discover the freedom there. Allow this concept, and you have to escape being the small character in the dream. If even for a moment, that's all it takes. Beautiful. Beautiful. Turn to page 243. 20 pages to the right.
Andrew?
Yes.
I was thinking we should read paragraph 10 on 223. It's just so beautiful.
Absolutely. Bring it, Jacqueline. You're up.
Okay.
Paragraph 10 on 223.
After the one we just read.
After the one we just read.
If you will recognize that all the attack you perceive is in your own mind and nowhere else, you will at last have placed its source, and where it begins, it must end. For in this same place also lies salvation. The altar of God, where Christ abideth, is there. You have defiled the altar, but not the world. Yet Christ has placed the atonement on the altar for you. Bring your perceptions of the world to this altar, for it is the altar to truth. There you will see your vision changed, and there you will learn to see truly. From this place, where God and his Son dwell in peace, and where you are welcome, you will look out in peace and behold the world truly. Yet to find the place, you must relinquish your investment in the world as you project it, allowing the Holy Spirit to extend the real world to you from the altar of God.
Oh, I love it. Healed perception. Beautiful. Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank
Beautiful
you.
Paragraph. It really is just summarizing what the workbook is for. This is a healed to heal your mind. Wouldn't reject what you think is real because you think it's real. Let's just look at it from the perspective of truth. Much kinder, much more interesting. Yeah, good, good. You'll be very happy with what you see. Okay, let's go to page 243. There's a whole bunch in that particular section. We're skipping around. If you love that stuff, there's more of it in that section. But let's jump now to 243. And look at paragraph 4. And Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 4? Top of the page on page 243.
You have built your whole insane belief system because you think you would be helpless in God's presence. And you would save yourself from his love because you think it would crush you into nothingness. You are afraid it would sweep you away from yourself and make you little, because you believe that magnitude lies in defiance and that attack is grandeur. You think you have made a world God would destroy, and by loving him, which you do, you would throw this world away, which you would. Therefore, you have used the world to cover your love. And the deeper you go into the blackness of the ego's foundation, the closer you come to the love that is hidden there. And it is this that frightens you.
Isn't that nice?
Beautiful.
The circle leads you back home. Even the direction that you think you're going away from God, in its darkness, the deepest you can go, you get the closer to God, to the truth. Because if you see, the deepest you go in falsity, it then fails. Why? Because it's false. And then, you know, on that page, on 242, paragraph 2, sentence 1, Deborah, read for us just that first sentence, comes true. 242, paragraph 2, sentence 1.
Under the ego's dark foundation is the memory of God, and it is this that you are really afraid, and it is of this that you are really afraid. For this memory would instantly restore you to your proper place, and it is this place that you have sought to leave. Your fear of attack is nothing compared to your fear of love. You would be willing to look even upon your savage wish to kill God's Son if you did not believe that it saves you from love. I'm going to read that one again. You would be.
No, I'm going to stop you here because that goes on to a discussion that's fascinating, but not in the direction I want to go right now tonight. I want you to stick with under the ego's dark foundation. Under the ego's dark foundation, not above and beyond and in heaven somewhere else. You following the direction of discussion here? Not out there, up in heaven, where there's rainbows and unicorns and harp for everybody. It's under the ego's dark foundation. See? I love A Course in Miracles, because it puts you right back in your chair and says, wait a minute. Okay, found the problem, and it's you. Found the solution, also you. Therefore, no problem, really. You're not lost. You have exactly the freedom. It's one thought away. Under the ego's dark foundation, see, is the memory of God. That's why it's a book on miracles. Because in miracles, it would be a shift from darkness to light. Right when you need it. For this memory of God would instantly restore you to your proper place. And it's this place that you've sought to leave. Your proper place is, in fact, the wholeness and freedom that you recognize in the holy instant, that Jacqueline recognized. You all felt it. You've all felt it before. She just was starting to put it. She just led us right to it. The holy instant of the absolute. In all your meditations, you've probably somewhere along the line bumped into it, a feeling of absolute, and it's really, really freeing. It's a really free feeling. This is a memory of God. Beautiful. Sundari. Okay, I got your mute then. Go ahead.
There. Okay. I did it at the same moment. You know, that would be hard for me to wrap my head around in a real visceral way if I hadn't experienced it.
Right.
And
say that again.
You can't
wrap your head around it if you hadn't really experienced it. In fact, this is very common in spiritual circles. You end up having to lie to yourself because you want it to be true so much with your head.
And so the time that it became real for me is when I was in a spiritual group with people for about 3 years, really intense work, 30, 40 hours of spiritual stuff a week. And we had every relationship with each other. And we were given the task to be 100% clear with each other and given 6-8 months where you make a 2-hour appointment with people, put a candle representing Holy Spirit between you, and one person speaks for a timed hour. Nothing less. And then without any feedback to each other, the second person speaks for a timed hour with the sole purpose of bringing up everything to the light that needs to make it a 100% untriggered with that person. And it was the most amazing process. And it probably taught me more about forgiveness than anything, because you'd run it and run it and run it, and then you'd run out of things to say, and then more stuff would come up, and then run it and run it and run it. And, oh, by the way, if you weren't successful the first time, you made another 2-hour appointment and another. And every single one of those 30, 40 people ended up 100% clear with every other person, and other groups had failed. And what I noticed was that stuff would come up, and when I truly was done with everything, with every single person, unfailingly, there would be a time where all that was left was this adoring love. And it was remarkable. And it taught me that 100% of the time, it's 100% me that's the one that comes to forgiveness.
It was just the opportunity for you to exercise out the doubt and the darkness. It's you. That's the salvation. It's you.
There's a whole bit about self-validation and one's feelings being okay to have. And no matter how dark they are, no matter, you know, it was literally the bringing the darkness to the light.
Yeah.
and really viscerally seeing that underneath that was the pure love each and every time without the other person truly needing to say anything.
Nice, Indari. Congratulations. It's the truth. It's what this paragraph is saying. Beneath the darkness, between the dark, underneath the dark foundations, in fact, is the memory of God. If you stay with the ego as your guide, then you focus on the darkness, and that frame is very heavy and engaging. You don't look at the picture. When you learn of this Holy Spirit, and you actually spend time with the workbook to drop into the holy instances that are designed by the workbook to drop you into this higher awareness. You spend time with your Holy Spirit, you get this sense of certainty that's beautiful. Even though, the workbook works you through the ugly memories, your ugly thoughts. That's what it deals with. So you know we're not all, if you put a bunch of roses, everything smells good, and then you get off the cushion and it's back to hell. No, let's go into hell together with the workbook. Go into hell together. But then we look at it from the source of light, and then things are lit. The weight is relieved. The darkness is actually dissolved. This is what the wake-up is. This is what your spiritual path leads you to, is the ability to look at the exact same things and see through them. There's another paragraph where the Course is pretty graphic about this. Let's jump to it and read it. Let's go to page 364 in the workbook.
Oh,
pretty gritty. You know, this is lesson 191. This is no lightweight lesson. We're just going to jump. We're going to, look at all the highlights here. We're just going to jump to, we'll start at paragraph 9. So great. I have to read 9 and 10 because, you know, one's beautiful and the other one follows. So nice. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's funny, Tim. Okay. Look at 364, paragraph 9, and let's have Sundari, are you there? I think she went out to go. No, she is there. I got your mute, Sundari. Go to page 364 in the workbook.
Oh, the workbook.
Yes, back of the book is about half an inch there, a little less. Left, it's quite far in the workbook. And it's paragraph 9. Would you read that for us?
You who perceive yourself as weak and frail, with futile hopes and devastated dreams, born but to die, to weep and suffer pain, hear this. All power is given unto you in earth and heaven. There is nothing that you cannot do. You play the game of death, of being helpless, pitifully tied to disillusion in a world which shows no mercy to you. Yet when you accord it mercy, will its mercy shine on you?
Do you see the circle? Do you see how it's pointed back to your own mind, just as you were saying a moment ago, Sundari? This is A Course in Miracles that's said 1,000 times, just where it's said again. And what if you were to know or allow this to be true? What might you then say? What might you take into meditation with you? Sundari, read the italics above that paragraph.
I am the Holy Son of God himself. I cannot suffer, cannot be in pain. I cannot suffer loss, nor fail to do all that salvation asks.
Reclaiming your power. It comes with a holy instant, by the way. You reclaim your power. There's another way to call it. What is Course in Miracles? It's self-empowerment. Bringing you back to yourself. And then your Holy Spirit will translate the nasty stuff that happens in your life. You might even start to laugh.
You know what's interesting too, Andrew, is mm-hmm. like, I don't know, I found going through that there are many areas where, for me, the alignment works exquisitely. Mm-hmm. And then always that one area of life, you know, that one thing that's your thing that doesn't work, you know, and it's comical. And it's so intriguing to me how deeply ingrained the knowledge can be in so many seated realms. And yet there's that one place, you know, and it's
Sundari, you're a scientist. And does a scientist work on problems to which they already know the answer?
Right. My learning manual for this lifetime.
This is exactly what you're doing in your laboratory, my dear. You wouldn't have it any other way. You wouldn't have it any other way. You're not a victim. You're busy sorting it out. And at some point, you might run into a corner like I did. And then you'll say, I'm going to look at this differently. You can't run from it. You know, it seems too real to run from. It's okay. Holy Spirit's here. This book is here. These paragraphs are here. The next paragraph is here to guide you to look at your very things that have become blocks and to see through them. This is what Christ's vision is in this book. It's what vision is. Well, let's read the next paragraph. Ross, would you please read for us a paragraph? Paragraph 10. In fact, read us 10 and 11.
Then let the Son of God awaken from his sleep and opening his holy eyes, return again to bless the world he made. In error it began, but it will end in the reflection of his holiness, and he will sleep no more and dream of death. Then join with me today. Your glory is the light that saves the world. Do not withhold salvation longer. Look about the world and see the suffering there. Is not your heart willing to bring your weary brothers rest? They must await your own release. They stay in chains till you are free. They cannot see the mercy of the world until you find it in yourself. They suffer pain until you have denied it. Its hold on you. They die till you accept your own eternal life. You are the Holy Son of God himself. Remember this, and all the world is free. Remember this, and earth and heaven are one.
Ha! There you go. That's what we're doing halfway through the workbook, is studying, rehearsing, and allowing all through the day that to be true. And some part of your mind will grab it like you saw Jacqueline grab that moment of nothing actually happened. She just felt lovely. Nothing happened. She felt free. That's what the truth feels like. And then you learn, you kind of take those holy instances and you keep stacking them up. And they become more real to you than the nightmare of the world ever was. And then you're free. That's how it works. Let's read more, though, with the time that we have left. Turn now to page 372 in the text. You see how well this book supports the workbook? How well? Look at the title of this section. Imagine trying to take these big lessons in the workbook without some kind of a confidence. Oh, well, the text offers you the confidence. For example, this very section. It's called The Passing of the Dream. And
it, what page?
It says page 372 in the text. Front of the book, third of the way in, 372. And it calls out the substitute reality, getting you on the right page for your awakening. What are you going to be doing healing? Remember I said you can't solve a problem if you don't know what the problem is. So Don't worry. The book tells you exactly what the problem is again and again. Let's just jump to paragraph 4. And Cecilia, are you there to read? There she is. Hi, Cecilia.
Hi.
Would you read for us? Read for us paragraph 4 on page 372.
You who believe that God is feared, made but one substitution.
Now, before she continues, I just want to give you a catch you up on why it said that sentence. You see, the Course is busting the ego because he knows that you follow your fear as an authority in your life. Mm-hmm. You're drunk on it. It comes up and you think, well, there must be a reason why I'm afraid. Let me go look for it. And you'll find it. If you look, you'll find it. And then you'll kind of justify why you're afraid. And then you'll start to feel more afraid because now I found it and maybe it's worse. See, you really believe fear here in this world of separation. Fear is God. You know, it's God. It's got all the, has the power to save you. See, your ego counsels is your fear. So we got to wake up from that. It's one of the things you wake up from. Cecilia, go ahead.
Okay. So you who believe that God is fear made but one substitution. It has taken many forms because it was the substitution of illusion for truth, a fragmentation for wholeness. It has become so splintered and subdivided and divided again over and over that it is now almost impossible to perceive it once. To perceive it once was one and still is what it was. That one error which brought truth to illusion, infinity to time, and life to death was all you ever made. Your whole world rests upon it. Everything you see reflects it, and every special relationship that you ever made is part of it.
Pointing out that right in front of your face is the problem. The only problem needs to be solved is continuing to be right at your fingertips. Folks, it's right at your fingertips. This is good news. Your awakening, the door through which you would pass to return to heaven, is at your fingertips. Not at some other time, not at some other place. But there's more. He'll tell us more about it. Okay. I think we're back up to Don. Don, would you read for us the next paragraph, paragraph 5?
You may be, excuse me. You may be surprised to hear how very different its reality from what you see.
Okay, stop right there. He is talking to you as the part of your mind that does know the truth of what's going on here. So when you read a sentence like that, you can say, you know, I believe that reality is different from what I'm seeing with my ego's eyes. You take on some of the certainty. Help move your mind away from being so small. So Don, please start again.
You may be surprised to hear how very different is reality from what you see. You do not realize the magnitude of that one error. It was so vast and so completely incredible that from it a world of total unreality had to emerge. What else could come of it? Its fragmented aspects are fearful enough as you begin to look at them, but nothing you have seen begins to show you the enormity of the original error, which seemed to cast you out of heaven, to shatter knowledge into meaningless bits of disunited perceptions, and to force you to make further substitutions.
And to force you to make further substitutions. Doesn't that seem like any other addiction? See, the mind is still the mind. Whether it's whole or whether it's fragmented, it's still the mind. And so, like the alcoholic continues to make the same decision deeper and deeper because the first one, the second one follows, and the third drink follows the first two. So it isn't really the fourth or fifth drink that ends you up with a face plant. It's the first one. Tim, go ahead.
This takes us right back to the beginning of this session. I had the choice given to me to go ahead and explore what would it be like to be without my source.
Mm-hmm.
What would it feel like? What would that experience be like? Mm-hmm. I am allowed to explore that insane territory should I choose, because of who I am, because of who my creator is.
Yes.
And you know what? I did. I took the journey. Yep. Here we are.
Here we are.
That's what I said right at the beginning.
Bingo, and, my friend. You got it. Bingo.
And I'll stop talking now.
Good, good. I'm glad you brought that back, because that's exactly what the deal is. That is the deal. There's even more. Luann, I got your mute. Boom. Read first paragraph 6.
That was the first projection of error outward. The world arose to hide it, became the screen on which it was projected, and drawn between you and the truth. The truth extends inward where the idea of loss is meaningless, and only increase inconceivable. And only increase is conceivable. Do you really think it's strange that a world in which everything is backwards and upside down arose from this projection of error? It was inevitable. What truth brought to this could only remain within and quiet and take no part in all the mad, I underlined so much I can't read it, and take no part in all the mad projection by which this world was made. Call it not sin, but madness, for such it was, and so it still remains. Invest it not with guilt, for guilt implies it was accomplished in reality. And above all, be not afraid of it.
Wow. Great advice from your guide. You know, it's the same story over and over. As you think it, so it is. If you think with fear, it will seem fearful. But as you look at those same things and you see them with freedom, you see them with a purpose, you chose with a power that you are wielding. It goes exactly in the face of victimhood and for you feeling sorry for yourself. It goes exactly in the face of all things that promote the ego. You're asked at first, how much time do we have? Okay, we have to skip now to Jesus just counseling you. All right, this is a pretty crazy idea, right? To suddenly look at all your body and your children and your parents and the things that went before you and the world that surrounds you. To look at all that and say, this is a projection outward, and I have to go back inward to find the truth and look at everything as actually an extension of my own mind. The things that seem to be able to hurt me, are you crazy? Yeah, that's what seems so crazy, right? However, as you start to reverse the dream, you're still going to be dreaming that all of this is a dream. Do you see what I'm saying? You think it's true. Now you use the same power that made it seem true, which was dreaming. You're not going to have a reverse dream. You're going to have what's called a happy dream. You use the same mind. You might find it easier to do it in meditation. where you really focus your mind and get some help from your Holy Spirit, to now dream yourself back up the staircase where these individual parts can be seen as connected. But that's exactly what we're doing when we meet here every Thursday. Now, to close the meeting, let's have Jesus just pat us on the back and give us a hug, because we know how tough this is. Turn to way back in the workbook. It's lesson 284, I think. Not sure what page. Yeah, it is 284. It's page 439. Wow, you know, this is way through A Course in Miracles. There's all sorts of theory has been taught. A bunch of beautiful and challenging things have been said by the time you get this far in the book. And hear from your teacher, one who, keywords now, walks with you, wrote this book, is never apart from you, and is available in your mind, but for the asking, the wisdom that wrote this book. And look what it says on 284. Beautiful, beautiful summary lesson for us. Where did we get to? We got to Tim. Okay, Tim, would you read for us lesson 284, page 439 in the workbook?
Loss is not loss when properly perceived.
And what's the swan song, banner, theme, flag that you're waving all day? What's the lesson title?
I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt.
Wow, you must be a Course in Miracles student if you say that with happiness. Going to own it, going to integrate it, going to embody that statement. Indeed. Please, continue.
I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt. That's so powerful.
He's ready.
I mean, if you really think about it and you believe it, I mean, the tears start to come to your eyes.
I'm in, brother.
I'm sorry. Loss is not loss when properly perceived.
Wow. A healing statement in itself. A promise given you in black and white on this book. A promise for your own freedom right there, that you can perceive otherwise and not perceive loss. Oh, my goodness. Luann, are you paying attention? All right. Good. Please continue, Tim.
Pain is impossible. There's no grief with any cause at all. And suffering of any kind is nothing but a dream.
Yes, I want more of this. How can I have more of this? How can I have that kind of confidence in my everyday? Please continue, Tim.
This is the truth. At first to be said, and then you repeat it a bunch of times. And finally, maybe you accept it as partly true. Lots of reservations. And then to be considered seriously.
That might be 7 years into A Course in Miracles at that point, by the way.
Who knows? Who cares?
Might be 7 days also.
Then to be considered seriously more and more. And finally, accepted as a truth. Who knows how many years? Doesn't matter. I can wait. Let's do it. I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt. And I would go beyond these words today, past all reservations, and arrive at full acceptance of the truth in them. Here's the prayer. Father, what you have given cannot hurt. So grief and pain must be impossible. Let me not fail to trust in you today, accepting but the joyous gifts as your gifts, accepting but the joyous as the truth.
Thank you, Tim. Beautifully read. Beautifully read, my brother.
I feel it. I mean, if I read it that way, it's because I believe it that way.
It's the great news. It's the great news and a summary of the truth and your whole way out. I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt. I can elect to change all thoughts that hurt. Iambic pentameter. He means it. And this is a truth you can take with you. Take it with you tonight. Take it with you to sleep. Chant it. Chant it 100 times and just feel the power. And now that you're a Course in Miracles student, you know you have the tools to exactly do that. It's your way out. It's the door out of darkness, the door out of the world, the door out of the dream of separation. Is to you change these thoughts, not have anybody else anywhere else. And it leads you right to your power. Jacqueline.
I just wanted to say to Tim, you are so on fire with truth.
Yeah, baby.
Who knows? I take no credit. I am a beginner. Believe me, I am just a beginner.
We all are.
Lead the way as the beginner. Beautiful. Good.
That's it.
Thanks for studying A Course in Miracles with me for a whole year. Loved it. Let's do it again next year.
God bless you all. Yes.
They put on the uniform. All right.
Ta-da.
Jacqueline, I want to say that you did just now what I think is required. You looked at the good in what Kim was saying.
Jacqueline's been on fire for the last few weeks, in case you haven't noticed. I know Andrew has.
No doubt.
He's picking her out.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Celebrating her.
That's all cool. Thank you, people.
Thanks, everybody. Merry Christmas and
good night.
Good night.
Love you all. Bless you. Thank you.
Love you, everybody.
Good night. We love you.
Thanks for your love back.